Chapter 1. The Atmospheric Revolution. The composition of the atmosphere of our ancient Mother Earth is extremely complex, as well as the well-known gases, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, and hydrogen. It also contains the inert gases and their compounds. In addition, interplanetary and cosmic radiations enter our atmosphere, as well as many spiritual forces. Without any exaggeration, one can say that all natural, cosmic, and spiritual forces meet within our atmosphere. As in a gigantic cocktail shaker, all these forces, vibrations, and gases are mixed together, continually forcing upon us changes in the atmosphere in which we live. Just as the influences of the sun and moon cause the vast masses of oceans and seas to rise and fall periodically with an irresistible force, so other influences too bring about immense recurring movements in the atmospheric substance. In our opinion, it is quite mistaken to suppose that the atmosphere we are breathing now is the same as it was, for instance, 10 years ago. And if one thinks about it, one will realize that the way in which the atmosphere has been prepared must exert a tremendous influence upon the natural, moral, and spiritual behavior of mankind, as well as on the other kingdoms of nature. A few simple examples will make this clear. Certain gaseous substances, whether inhaled consciously or unconsciously, may sooner or later destroy our bodies, irritate our nervous systems, greatly influence our moral behavior, and change our general spiritual attitude. Consider, for example, the artificially prepared respiration fields maintained in some churches by means of incense. Think, too, of our everyday language, which describes certain atmospheres as stuffy, pleasant, dangerous, or exalted, thereby acknowledging that they have a direct and noticeable influence on our physical state as well as our spiritual activities. Who has never said to himself, "I cannot live in such an atmosphere"? All this should teach us that modern man has made far too little study of these important influences and should prove that, in a general sense as well as in particular cases, the atmosphere is influenced from two sides, from below and from above. Every human being creates and prepares his own spiritual respiration field in accordance with his state of being. Forces from outside then interact with it or create conditions which make their results felt in the life of the individual. Thus, everything one understands by the term atmospheric revolution, that nowadays so remarkable agitation of our atmosphere, is in complete accordance with mankind's state of being, and all of mankind is responsible for it. It is humanity's consistent historical signature. The evangelical statement that Christ will celebrate his return in the clouds of heaven and that every eye will behold him should also be considered in this context. Many supposedly enlightened souls, with a shrug and a smile, consider this a mystical exaggeration. But anyone who examines such a statement in the light of esoteric science will discover that all the forces of the Christ hierarchy, natural as well as spiritual, do meet him in the atmosphere, literally in the clouds of heaven, and that every human being is confronted with these forces in his own life system. So we consider it a reasonable requirement that modern man asks himself, what forces are currently at work in our atmosphere? What is going on, and what should my reaction be? A reaction is bound to come. It is imperative, for if one were not to react, one would be forced to do so. That is why it is said that Christ comes for a resurrection or for a fall. It would be a good thing now to understand these words quite soberly, in their natural scientific sense. All mystic adornment, which often conceals so much reality, must be removed. It is a matter of empirical spiritual knowledge that atmospheric forces are driving humanity towards a physical, moral, and spiritual crisis, which must end in his being broken in a radical way, in his suffocation in the atmospheric tensions which are coming to a head. Under the influence of all these tensions, of all this agitation in the clouds of heaven, many things in this world are rushing towards their end. A passion for destruction prevails in our atmosphere. Many symptoms of this are now forcing themselves upon human awareness. For example, the many tragic aircraft accidents which took place during the years 1946 to 47 and subsequently in shorter periods. In those years, public opinion had taken it for granted that, basically, flying had reached technical perfection, that the safety of air travel had been more than proven, and that both flight and servicing personnel were in every way equal to their tasks. Indeed, we too are of the opinion that, in general, no airline need reproach itself or be concerned in this respect, even though the one may surpass the other in respect to punctuality or scrupulous attention to detail. What occurred in the air during the periods mentioned above was beyond the scope of all technical perfection, flying safety, or skill of the personnel. It was simply a matter of higher influences, a sign of the atmospheric revolution. After esoteric investigation, we accept it as fact that all these accidents were caused by flying through concentrations of inert gases, which are now found in our atmosphere in higher quantities than in the past. These gases, because of their unique and little-known intensity and power, cause pilots to experience periods of unconsciousness lasting 1 or 2 seconds, as well as very brief disturbances of the sensory functions. One pilot may be less susceptible than another, as both their spiritual and biological conditions are of great importance in this respect, but it is certain that had the above-mentioned atmospheric condition continued, flying would have had to be discontinued indefinitely. However, the concentrations of inert gases were transitory phenomena in the atmospheric revolution. By now, they will have dissolved and formed other combinations in order to help prepare our atmosphere for a special purpose. That is why these air crashes, which took place in such swift and dramatic succession, belong to the past. Totally different and strange phenomena are going to claim the attention of an amazed and perplexed mankind, such as the falling away of many natural veils between this and yonder side as a result of the powerful activity of inert gas B2, which will reveal much that was hitherto hidden. Many inert gases, when vibrating in a highly electromagnetic atmosphere, have an enormous penetrative capacity, so that even airtight metal cabins do not form insuperable barriers for them. Special attention should be given to inert gas, A, which, for many years, has been exerting increasing influence on the natural life of mankind. Under certain conditions, inert gas A causes moments of unconsciousness, of sensorial abnormality, of a blunting of the senses. It brings about disturbances in the respiratory organs and is responsible for many cardiac disorders. As long as the plane maintains a steady cruising speed, the pilot will hardly notice his rapid and transient physical reactions to these inert gases, but under trying circumstances such as fog or heavy winds, or when landing, they may be fatal, as experience has already shown. One should also not overlook the fact that metals and stones become fatigued much more quickly than was formerly the case. Present atmospheric concentrations have a strong oxidizing and disintegrating tendency. In our time, the ultraviolet and thus disintegrating cosmic rays, in combination with concentrations of inert gases of the same polarity, will put an end to much that has always been regarded as ageless. They are also responsible for irregularities and deviations in engines and instruments. In this respect, the disease which has affected the Notre Dame, that beautiful Gothic monument in Paris, provides us with an extremely instructive lesson. The walls, stones, and sculptures of the Notre Dame and several other large French churches and monuments have been affected by a process of rapid decay called the Stone Plague. Great lumps of pulverized and totally porous stone fall off, and no matter what precautionary measures are taken, it seems that the disease cannot be checked. Even new stones which are inserted for repair soon share the same fate. As a result, should no effective countermeasure be found, the fate of these buildings, which have hitherto defied the centuries, is sealed. One may wonder why so many French churches are falling victim to this disease. The cause lies in the fact that certain remarkable atmospheric constellations are gathering over France, which are connected with future events in Europe. As for the Notre Dame, there is an additional cause which places the new cosmic influences in a special light. The Notre Dame is a Masonic edifice. That does not mean that this Gothic cathedral was built by Freemasons linked with a spiritual school, but by ecclesiastical prelates who used magic to captivate the public to an even greater extent than was already possible by means of ordinary church practices. The Notre Dame was built by an archbishop who practiced occultism for the benefit of the church. He is responsible to the French people for the three magically powerful roses placed in both the transepts and above the organ loft. These three roses work collectively upon the three corporeal sanctuaries of those who are present in the church, and seen with etheric sight, they have a distinct, rotating, clockwise movement from left to right. These influences cause the public to become strongly bound to the power field of the church. At the same time, they bring the building, with the help of which they occur, into an atmosphere which makes it highly susceptible to the disintegrating ultraviolet activity in the atmosphere. We considered it essential to give this explanation regarding air crashes and the stone plague as an introduction to what will be discussed in the following chapters, in order to spur the reader on to deeper reflection on the atmospheric revolution which is currently spreading with so much power. All the kingdoms of nature will be affected by this agitation in the clouds of heaven. In the spiritual school, all these activities are stirring the pupil to wakefulness. They are stimulating him to serious investigation and driving him to a way of life which counteracts the passion for destruction and links him with the healing and constructive forces of structural rebirth, which seek to lead him into a new world. As a result of the atmospheric revolution, a great drama is being enacted in world history, a drama in which air catastrophes and the decay of cultural monuments will be mere incidental phenomena. Among other things, the atmospheric forces will have a disrupting effect on the bodies of all those who continue to cling to their earthly nature. By influencing, among other things, the endocrine glands, these forces will confront physicians with tremendous problems. A few examples may serve to illustrate this. The activity of the two adrenal glands, which formerly had such a soothing and tranquilizing effect upon human emotions, will be seriously disturbed and will increase, for example, the incidence of diabetes. A diminishing of the spleen activity will be responsible for an increase in the various forms of anemia. Infant mortality will result from an alteration in the activity of the thymus gland. Apparently, an overwhelming number of disorders of the thyroid gland have already attracted the attention of the medical profession. The increasing number of congenital malformations is related to the pituitary, while an alarming increase in symptoms of insanity draws attention to the pineal gland. This is an anything but reassuring picture, but it is certain that a new revolutionary spiritual orientation and a way of life in conformity with it can reveal to the person concerned a powerful and entirely different group of vital forces. The coming times will teach us that it is of no use to stand aside, speculating and contemplating, and that man is forced to make a positive choice in life. Thus, the atmospheric revolution bears for some the signature of death, whereas for others it opens the gateway to a higher good. The spiritual school of the Rosy Cross awakens its pupils to the genesis of a new spiritual consciousness and to a regenerative encounter with the forces of Christ in the clouds of heaven.